Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. If you can't get excited about your sins being forgiven and being on the winning side and glory, I'm saved, there's something wrong in your heart, all right? My grandpa used to say, if that don't ring your bell, your clapper's missing. So, true statement, all right? Psalm chapter number one, if you'll turn there with me real quick, the book of Psalm chapter number one. Appreciate each and everyone being here this evening. And, of course, our church, and then all of our parents. And I do, again, why do we do this? Well, we just want to start every year on the same page and share why we do what we do. I am thankful for the school. This is the 28th year this year. It's hard to believe. But thankful. God's been good to us, and I'm thankful. It's so exciting. I went out to eat Tuesday with a young man that was in town, and he went to our school years ago. He's an assistant pastor out in Missouri now, and we had a great time, and I was just reminded when I left that restaurant, that's why we do what we do, and just want to point young people in the right direction. Another school year's upon us, and I, again, start every year sharing the same thought, because it is fundamental to why we do what we do, that we believe it is the parents' responsibility to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is not the state's responsibility to do so. It is a biblical mandate that families raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's interesting, of course, that's in Ephesians chapter number 6, but the word nurture there means it means to discipline the mind. It means to educate, very simply stated, to cultivate the mind and morals. And that is what nurturing is. And it is this instruction in the things of God. And then admonition simply means to exhort, to admonish, to call to attention, warn about certain things and encourage in other certain areas, but to give understanding. But all of those things, both of those things are to be done, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The education matters. It is not the state's jobs. It is the parents' responsibility, and that is the belief of Cazadale Baptist Academy. So, well, you just said it's a parent's job. I do, but we are here to help the parents. You say, well, what gives the school, the church, the right to do that? Well, because this school is a ministry of a local church, and the church, God's churches, are the pillar and the ground of truth. Part of the Great Commission is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so the academy through the local church is an instrument. It is a tool that the parents can choose to use to make sure that the children are getting the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And I am thankful for our families, because I'm thankful in this fact that it has been this way for years, and that the church and the school and the family can be in harmony and work together on these things to see that these children are raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The public education system, quite simply, does not seek to do these things in the Lord. Quite the opposite, actually, often. I don't think everyone involved in a public school system was wicked, but the general goals of the public school system should not be the general goals for us as parents in this room. We're not perfect. We deal with sin. We deal with issues. But the difference is this fundamental desire that we want to see an education done in the Lord. Because of that, Cazadale Baptist Academy, if I can have just a few minutes to address that letter that we send home every year, but it's been a while since I've talked about it. Cazadale Baptist Academy does not desire to be licensed or chartered by the state. All right, we do not seek that. And can I give you a little history why? I'm going to, so it doesn't really matter whether you want me to or not, all right? In the 1970s, public schools, a little bit before that, but in the 70s, they began to greatly change. Prayer, Ten Commandments, I could go on and on and on. Everything began to change. Humanism, all these other things were being introduced and taught. When my mom, not that she is not old at all, but when my mom went to high school, public high school, they opened every day in prayer. I mean, my mom, all right? Things began to change in the 70s. They began to push back on these things. And so in the 70s, the Christian schools began. And at first, they were doing they were going and being chartered at first until the state began to push back. And they did not want to permit time for religious instruction, which we have Bible class every day. They were being forced to teach secular humanism. Compared to today, what's being taught, it's not as bad, but that's where it is now. It's where it was headed. And this humanism, this against God, began to be introduced. And so, and then when Christian schools saw this, they said, we don't want to be chartered. And what happened in the 70s was the public school areas, the systems, began to charge parents and the students for truancy if they weren't coming to the public school, even though they were going to their church schools. And so that became a legal battle in the 70s. Went all the way to, in the state of Ohio, it went all the way to the Ohio Supreme Court. And the Christian school, after a lot of battles, they won. And they did not have to be licensed and chartered by the state, and therefore not having to follow the certain things that were going to be required in public education, which we don't want taught to our kids. But the leaders, and part of all this court battle in the 1970s, how many of you don't know this? Raise your hand. All right, good, all right, we're helping, all right? But the leaders, the church leaders and stuff, they met with the Ohio Board of Education when all this went down in the 70s, and they said, look, we're not trying to skip out on anything. Our schools not only are going to meet what needs to be taught, we'll have all the days that need to be, all the hours, the days, and all the minimal requirements, they will be met. Our teachers need to be qualified. We are going to teach education and what needs to be taught. And they said, we are giving our guarantee, and as an agreement, we will make sure we notify all parents every year that this is being done, thus the letter that's been sent out now for 30 years, it's supposed to be. So that letter sent out. And by the way, my signature, you say, that's in a weird spot. That's where the state tells me to sign it, all right? Right on the front next to the address, all right? I think it's a weird place to sign it too. So Board of Education agreed, and they said, this is great. And if you want to look it up, the Ohio Code 3301-35-08 recognized non-chartered, non-public schools, which is what we are. That's why they just call us an 08 school for short, all right? Because that's the last two digits of all that stuff that I hope you're really paying attention to, all right? But that happened. I can't tell you the battles that were fought. Because religious leaders and church leaders knew where the public school was headed. So we agreed that we'd notify our parents, that we would be subject to the days and hours and qualifications, and that things would be met. And for years, that was the stand. Due to the voucher system that was recently passed, a lot of Christian schools have decided to be chartered because basically the state's going to send X amount of money, which is a lot of money, to send us vouchers, and money from the state goes from the state to the school to be able to pay for the tuition and everything. And right now the state says, we're not going to have you do anything. Do whatever you want to. If you trust the government, I got some land I'm going to sell you, all right? You say, they're not doing anything. They're not. But let's be honest, how long is it going to be till someone fights a school pretty soon about things like the sex education it's taught, DEI, critical race, transgender sports, and whatever the state gives you, they can take away. With shekels come shackles. What it's doing, it is really a lot of us, schools like us, Bethel and West Carrollton, I was just talking to their pastor, their enrollment has dropped by 30% because parents are like, hey, I can send them to X school and Christian school and it's all paid for. And I get it. That's a lot of money. So why aren't we going to do that? Because a lot of battles were fought because these things that are being taught in a public school, there will come a day they're going to enforce it. I'm not a prophet. I am a preacher. But I'm not ignorant either. And so that's why we continue. And I want everybody to know that. And I'm thankful our enrollment's up, all right? Praise the Lord for that, all right? Again, we do not seek charter, nor will we ever seek to be chartered. You say, well, one of the big arguments against schools like ours is there's no accountability because the state wants all the accountability that we meet and pass all their certain tests. And we have testing. We meet all the requirements for that. But we are being held accountable to someone much more important than the state. It is God and you. If the education is not what it should be, I wouldn't leave my kid in the school. Right? So we are accountable to you, which again goes to our core philosophy. It is the parent's responsibility. We can be an instrument in that, but we seek to be a tool to help in that. But we are accountable to you. The main stakeholder in your child's education is the parent. Amen. So I say that to say that's why we do what we do. That's why we take the stand that we take our stand at. And it's becoming more under fire today. But with zero regret or any apprehension, do we take the stand where we stand? Because I believe in Psalm chapter 1. Let's read it real quick. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I've been reading in Psalm chapter number 1 in my personal devotions here for almost 2 weeks now. Didn't plan on that. It's just, boy, what a rich chapter this is. What drew my attention this morning was verse number 4 that says this, the ungodly are not so. We seek to give an education that is a godly education because the ungodly are not so. There are things that the ungodly do not have the opportunity and the promise of God for that the godly do have. And I want our young people, and I believe you do too, that's why we're here, to be raised in an environment that has the blessing of God upon their life. Now, what does that consist of? What is it that the ungodly are missing out on? What is it? And I want to look at that today. The ungodly are not so. So what are they missing out on? Number one, in verse number one, is this, happiness. The Bible says, blessed is the man. That word blessed means happy. We desire, we want, we pray, and we work for our young people because we want them to have a life where they have joy and contentment and happiness. There are some things, parents, we want them to miss out on. I want them to miss out on addictions. I want them to miss out on perversions. I want them to miss out on multiple divorces and suicidal thoughts and pain and hurt. It all comes with the ungodly actions of ungodliness. I want our young people to miss out on those things. So we seek to give in an education and create an environment that will ensure that it teaches and points them to the life of being a blessed man, a blessed lady, that they'll be able to enjoy these blessings. Now, that demands in verse number 1 that there are some things they avoid. And this is why we have our school. Number 1, they avoid wrong counsel. A blessed man doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So if I place, you know, I got a daughter still in school. If I keep pushing her and putting her under the counsel of those who care not for the things of God, under the counsel of those who are against the things of God, under the counsel of those who are encouraging perversions, encouraging wickedness, encouraging an ungodly lifestyle. I am robbing them of being a blessed person. Because the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. If they're walking under this counsel every day of their life, I am allowing them to have the blessing of God ripped from their life. And I want them to be happy, amen? I want them to have joy. So they have to avoid wrong counsel. They got to avoid the wrong ways. No, it says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Not just listening to the wrong counsel, but being surrounded and walking every day amongst peers that are wanting to do these wicked things. No, I'll be really blunt, all right? 2004, the school here was about 110, 112 students at that time. I don't even know where we had everybody. I have no idea. But we were using the basement, upstairs, buildings, everything. But it's the first time in my life I ever saw illegal drugs. I took it to Brother Slee. I was like, what is this? He knew. All right? So what happened? The next year, we hit a reset. Next year, we had 19 kids in our school. You say, you can have a bigger school if you advertise. Probably. But I'm not. You say, how are people going to know about you? Well, if you think it's good what's going on here, tell someone who would think it's good that's what's going on here, right? That's the only advertisement we do, right? Because I don't want a place where listen to cussing in the hallways. We're not going to do that. We're not going to allow perversions and things. Now, we got to deal. Kids are kids. You know, you say, they're all perfect. No, all right. But it's going to be addressed. It's going to be taken care of. I don't want my kids walking amongst ungodly ways and ungodly counsel with, thirdly, an ungodly spirit. You know what happens whenever, these are kind of steps here. When you listen to ungodly counsel and then you hang around ungodly ways, you will end up with an ungodly spirit. You will end up sitting back in the seat of the scornful. And you'll look at things like this and be like, that's ridiculous. They're not allowed to do this. They're not allowed to do that. Amen. There are certain things we don't do. But if you find yourself in the seat of the scornful, it's because you've listened to ungodly counsel and lived in ungodly ways. It always ends up in the seat of the scornful. But we want our kids happy. I'm just here to tell you that the happiest people on the face of the earth are those who are walking in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Those who are following what thus saith the Lord. You say, well, bad things still happen to good people. I'm about to get on, all right? But number one, there's happiness. Number two, we have this, all right, because the ungodly don't have it. If you don't believe me, come to our addictions recovery program. If you don't believe me, ride the bus with me Sunday. You'll see the hurt. That's where that life will lead you. And I don't want that for our kids. I love your children. I mean that. And I want them to be happy. And that happiness comes from walking. Blessed is the man. So happiness, number two, this is another thing. The ungodly don't have this, but we can. Number two is the Holy Scriptures. Verse number two, but, contrast to the ungodliness, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know what we want to teach them around here? We want to teach them to love the Word of God. We want to teach them to learn the Word of God. We want to teach them to live the Word of God. We want to teach them to lean on the Word of God. The Word of God is everything. And the godly, the blessed man, is going to delight in it day and night. The godly man is going to want it. It's going to be in our thoughts and in our mind. And our Bible class will be starting next week on Joshua, right where we left off. We left off with Moses dying. And now we're picking up with Joshua and going into the promised land. And God made a promise to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But, you know, when you meditate on it day and night, then you'll have good success. We want to teach that all education, everything we're going to teach, we teach them to read so they can study the Word of God. So I need to be able to read well. We teach them to diagram and all that stuff that we hate. But because we want them to be able to dissect the Word of God, to understand it. We teach them how to math. We teach them history. We teach them science, all based upon this fact of how we can use this to be a child of God and live according to the Word of God. So the delight is in the Word of God. We have the Scriptures, and that's why everything we do is going to be based upon the Word of God. But when you have this happiness that the ungodly is not so. The Holy Scriptures we have, but the ungodly it's not so. But in verse number 3, there's a harvest. That the ungodly, it's not so. But for us who are saved, look what we get. Now, again, I'm doing well. I could preach for an hour and a half tonight, right? But we're not, all right? But I'm just going to give you these points. Look at verse number 3. Study this, all right? Here's what is promised to the godly. That number one, if you're avoiding all those things in verse number 1, if the Word of God is the center of your life day and night, verse number 3, the harvest is this. Number 1, you'll always have a source to draw from. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That nourishing will always be there. Walk according to this book. And that nourishing will be there. There's a source to draw from. There is strength and stability to stand on. Planted. That's a great word. The child of God who is walking in the ways of God, it will be like a tree planted. It's not falling over. It's not weak. The wind isn't going to blow it over. It's strong. It's secure. When a young person graduates from our academy, it is my personal desire that that young person has been taught with something to stand upon the rest of their life. Something that will give them strength when their flesh may want to quit. Something that will get them through difficult times, but a strength and a stability. Thirdly, we get a season to reap fruit. It says that you should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. A season to reap fruit. I wish this is my quote. It's really good, but it's not. I read it. But it said this, there are no barren fruit trees in God's orchards. There's no barren fruit trees in God's orchards. When we're drawing from this book, when we're drawing from the Lord, and that's our strength, when we're planted in the things of God and the Word of God, there will be fruit. Now understand, sometimes, I'm not going to go down this path, I'm just going to say it, sometimes there is a time. Notice it doesn't say there'll always be fruit. In a season. There's times that are more difficult than others. As a pastor, there's been months that we've gone without seeing someone get saved. We haven't changed a thing. We may go a month without seeing someone walk the aisle. In the last 3 months, to God be the glory, between camp, kids' crusade, and our services, we've had 29 walk the aisle and get saved. Praise the Lord, man. That's awesome, right? In a season. The promise is this, there will be fruit. Doesn't mean that we're going to live our life and everything's always going to be perfect. But that's my last point on this. Success is guaranteed. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a guarantee. Shall prosper. That doesn't mean, as I said, and I mentioned this as an illustration in our nursing home service today, doesn't mean we're like have the Midas touch, everything we touch turns to gold, all right? That's not what that's talking about, but it means this, Romans chapter 8, all things work together for good to them that love God and called according to his purpose. What that means, shall prosper, means this: even in the difficulties of life, God will use it for his glory and for his good. For the child of God that is content in the things of God, planted in the word of God, God will make sure he will use it always for his glory and for his honor. And we will always have a testimony. There will be seen life that will be a testimony to other people. His leaf shall not wither. You know, here's about, if you're walking and doing these things, you're not going to dry up spiritually. Amen. Amen. Just keep drawing from the Word of God. Be planted on the Word of God in the Lord and pray. What a great life, all right? But the ungodly, it's not so. They miss out on these things. That happiness and the scriptures and the harvest. And I'll just close, what the ungodly miss out lastly is this: heaven. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Someday, there's going to be a great congregation of the righteous that we get to be part of. Amen? Can't wait till we get there to heaven. What a day that's going to be. But for the ungodly, it's not so. The way of the ungodly shall perish. I was on that way at one time, but I'm thankful someone told me that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What are we doing this for? Because we want our young people to learn what it is to know they're saved, but to live a godly life. So they'll have that happiness. So they'll have that harvest, the scriptures, and one day, the great congregation of the righteous in heaven. I'm glad all three of my children have professed the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's a great day when your kid gets saved. It's a wonderful time. But if they're not and you're not, why don't you join the winning side tonight? Be saved tonight. That's why we do what we do. Because there are things that the ungodly, they don't get. And I want our young people to have it.